Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Unrenowned Podcast, where we talk about Siege, what we like about Siege.
What we don't like about Siege.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Chris.
We got a good episode for you guys today because guess what?
We're not actually recording right now?
Yeah, we are.
Really?
Yeah.
Ryan just like got water and sat down and just started the intro.
Like we're professionals. We don't need any
apparently
lead up.
I just was not ready for that at all. I was
or foreplay.
Here leaning back and all of a sudden, oh, I need foreplay.
We just jump into things. Four playlists. It's going to be a good episode because like Siege is blowing up. There's all these things happening and there's news and stuff.
Yeah.
That's not true. There's no news.
There's a little bit.
We're in the freaking worst time just before a new season where they just are saying nothing and doing nothing.
Well, they're not doing nothing.
Yes, they're doing nothing. But that's okay because we're doing things. We're talking about things. So they did release Reverse Friendly Fire. Is that true?
Yeah.
And they detailed exactly how it works with a very bad infographic. So we'll talk about that. And they teased year four season two operators. So that's a thing. We'll talk about that.
I hate these teasers so much.
I know. They give you nothing.
I know. And nothing. There's so much speculation. It's just annoying.
Yeah. So
especially when everybody else is wrong.
I'm always right. And one thing that did bug me when Mozzie and Mozzie and Gridlock were teased and there was like the leaks that went along, or no, it wasn't even the leaks. It was official information of like not everything about them, but it's just like certain stuff. And like everybody was having a hard time deciding like, okay, who's the attacker, who's the defender, which one has which gadget and all this stuff. And like it was so clear by the way that they teased it, like which one was which. And the only thing that was unclear was whose name was whose.
Yeah.
And like I made a post about that on the subreddit. And then like a bunch of people came in and just like lit me up about like, you're wrong. You're an idiot. Like you're so wrong. And like, I was like,
go back and tell them?
Oh yeah. But like, first of all, I was just like, this is like way over the top reaction for just like, you think I'm wrong about which operator is which. And then like two, like I'm obviously right and you're not refuting any of my points. And it turned out I was 100% correct, except for like my stab in the dark of like, this is what I think their names are going to be. And that was the one point that I was like, I don't know, but this is like my guess. And then like, I came back and like several of them had like deleted the accounts that were associated with that Reddit post, which was really funny. But yeah, that drove me nuts that they're like, first of all, the people were so passionate about it, and then like that it was causing like all this arguing. It's just like, this is stupid.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, the subreddit for Siege has its problems. For Rainbow Six, I suppose.
Well, Reddit has its problems in general, but
that's true. Don't spend any time on things like, well, anything that has anything to do with politics. You're gonna have a bad time. Okay, let's talk about Reverse Friendly Fire. So it is currently live. I haven't played with it yet. Have you played with it?
Yeah.
Did you see it in action?
I saw people that had it against them. I didn't ever get team killed, so I never had an opportunity to like vote against someone or anything. But It has. So there's a couple things that changed when Reverse Friendly Fire came in. A lot of little changes that they didn't mention, which I hate. One of my biggest pet peeves is when they release like these random changes and don't say anything about it. And it's just like, wait.
Especially when they do go to excruciating detail of the technical workings of it, but then it's like either incorrect or like they leave things out.
Yeah. So first of all, there's a little icon on the player that has Reverse Friendly Fire. It's like a red triangle kind of, and it's like kind of going back on it, kind of like a recycling logo.
So that happens
after the Reverse Friendly Fire has been activated.
And it stays on them for like the entire game?
Yeah, for an entire game you can see it on the scoreboard. Okay. So if you press tab, you can see it.
Oh,
on
the scoreboard.
On the scoreboard.
Okay, I thought you meant like an icon over their head.
No. On the scoreboard. And then they also, some of this stuff is going to be news to you. It's going to surprise you. So
you know, it'd be useful.
But
if people in real life had icons over their head,
actually, I've thought about this, like The Sims, kind of
like status indicators.
Yeah,
like if somebody just had like an orange like thing over their head, you'd be like, oh, he's not in a very good mood right now. Like maybe I'll talk to him.
Don't talk to that guy.
Or like somebody has like a green one, you're like, oh, he's not feeling well.
Well, I've thought like maybe like what if everybody can like hear my thoughts and see what I'm doing, but I'm just the one man out, you know?
Everyone on Reddit is a bot except you.
Yeah, exactly. Those threads are so good. Very impressive. So some of these things are going to be news to you. They've reduce the amount of points you get as rook when people pick up your plate, so it's 5 now instead of 10. And then also...
Wait. You rook gets less points?
Yep. Why? So when people... I don't know.
That's like the most pointless, frivolous change.
It gets better. Oh, it gets better. The points that pop up in the middle of your screen when someone picks up the armor that used to be like a small like white like points, now it's like bold and red and ugly. It looks like it belongs in like Fortnite or like a...
So is this for all point rewards?
No, it's for rook. It's for when you revive someone. I've noticed it happens. It happens when you are Doc. They're red points. It looks like it looks like it belongs in Overwatch or Fortnite or something. Like that's so, like, the color it is
when you like buff your teammates or something. You get
basically like red.
That is the most random change.
It's the stupid, and it looks so ugly too.
Also, I'm not dropping my armor anymore because I only get 5 points. So there's
exactly
no point.
Like there's no point in dropping. There's no point.
Yeah. There's like half as many points.
Valkyrie now only gets 5 points for throwing black eye cameras. Sledge only gets 5 points for destroying stuff. In general, it used to be 15.
Like I don't understand like why they're concerned about the score for like random actions.
I don't know. Mute gets no points when he puts down his signal jammers now. He only gets them when stuff runs into them. Sledge's hammer... Okay, this could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Sledge's hammer swings faster. Like, significantly. So I played him one time, and I, like, swung his hammer. I was like, whoa! That was quick! And, like, I swung it a few more times, and I was like, okay, maybe it's not. But then, like, most of the time I was swinging it, I was like, no, it's really fast now.
Huh.
So go just play one game and play Sledge and swing the hammer and see if you think it's faster. Because to me, it felt like it was significantly faster. It could be because we're playing a lot of Mordhau recently, and I've been using the Maul, and that swings very slow.
That's
so it could be like
it.
Switch to Sledge's hammer, and I'm like, whoa, this is fast. But I think it's faster.
So Mordhau is, if you haven't seen this is a new like medieval combat game. It's similar to like Chivalry, if you've seen that before, kind of like For Honor a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like it's very violent and like... the combat system is like very precise and satisfying and difficult. So it's cool. If you like that kind of game, it's worth checking out. Mordhau, Mordhau. Hau.
Yeah, it's actually really fun too. You just feel like a, I don't know, you like feel like you're in Lord of the Rings sometimes. You're like, charge!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm bad at it.
I love that game.
Anyway, is there anything? Let's get back to Reverse Friendly Fire.
Okay.
Because that was the lead in here. So basically how this works, in case you are unfamiliar, is when somebody team kills a teammate, any future damage that they do to teammates is reflected back onto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that first team kill, that teammate has an option to forgive and like indicate that like that was an accident and that's okay. And like there will not be reverse friendly fire activated, but by default, you will have the reverse friendly fire. So somebody has to go out of their way to like say like, no, don't issue the punishment. And then once that happens, you won't be able to kill your teammates anymore because all of your damage comes back to yourself.
Yes.
They released this very confusing infographic. Is it just me that thinks it's confusing, or is it confusing?
No, it is kind of confusing.
It's like, it details all the details of it, but like, they have this weird like way of breaking it up where there's like, they put, like, okay, so like, the first section is weapons. So it's detailing like, okay, this is how weapons are affected by reverse friendly fire. So there's a box that's like before RFF and after RFF. So before RFF, there's damage to teammates, and you can activate RFF ostensibly by killing somebody with a weapon. And then with weapons after RFF is activated, reverse damage is dealt, which is what RFF is. So it's a weird thing to like indicate. And then you cannot do damage to teammates. But then they have a really weird way of breaking it up where like these two boxes are like stacked. And then next to it, it says primary weapons and secondary weapons. So it almost looks like primary weapons lines up with the top box, which is before RFF, and secondary weapons lines up with the bottom box, which is after RFF. And it's like, oh wait, no, those have no relation to the boxes at all.
Yeah,
it's like, it's just very strange.
Why do they even list primary and secondary weapons?
Yeah, it's very weird.
Like, it's just weapons.
Yeah, and like a lot of these are like the same. So like weapons and unique gadgets and throwable objects have exactly the same effects. So I don't understand why it's not just a single category instead of like breaking it up and making me read the same information various times.
Yeah.
Same with drones and cams, except that, okay, no, that's different because the damage is reversed onto the camera. But yeah, it's just like, it's a very bad infographic, which is funny. And there's also several typos on here. Explosives instead of explosive twice.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, I just wanted to complain about that because it was stupid. But let's get into the actual details of how it works.
So basically you shoot someone or you do a certain amount of damage to your teammates, and your teammates will have an option to forgive you for doing such damage or to punish you. And if they do nothing, then you're already punished. So you have reverse friendly fire. So when you shoot a teammate or shoot someone's drone or someone's gadget, then it just hits you instead of hitting the gadget.
Yeah. And then the one thing that's like kind of different is with explosives. So things like breach charges and nitros and, impacts and stuff. What's the actual difference? So when you activate reverse friendly fire, it doesn't do reverse damage and it does continue to damage your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why it's even saying that it's activating RFF. Because
now if you try to shoot your teammates with the gun, you can't.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if you get a kill with a breach charge, like team kill with a breach charge, let's say, it will activate RFF and put you in that sanction, but a future kill with a breach charge will not reverse the damage.
Right.
Rather, it will continue to damage your teammates, but if you were to shoot somebody after getting a team kill with a breach charge, then it would reverse the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. So I guess the idea, and so this also applies to unique gadgets that result in an explosion, which is weird because they put smoke and Capitao in there. So they're considering that as like explosive damage for this case, but then also ash and fuse. And then I don't think they even listed, so which is weird, like on these infographics, they put the icons of the operators that like it matches. But I don't actually think they listed every operator that it matches. Like going through Reddit comments and stuff, I can't think of like, because at the bottom they have like all of them listed in text. And I'm pretty sure that they like didn't actually put all of them on the infographic. So it's like really confusing. But there are exceptions for the explosives ones. So Capkins charges, Claymores, Thermite charges, and X-Kairos from Hibana will not be involved with RFF in any way, it seems like.
Yeah.
So, these explosives do not trigger RFF, do not reverse damage, and can damage teammates, pending feedback. So I guess for those ones, which makes sense. Claymores and Capkin charges, you have no control over. That's entirely up to like what's happening around the thing when it happens. And then Thermite charges and X-Kairos, I can see because like your teammate has more than enough time to get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's not like you can intentionally team kill with that, you know? So that would really open it up more to trolling where people could come purposely get in the way of it and activate get themselves RFF for you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on RFF in general? Like, now that we've kind of covered how it works.
I think it's a good idea, but I just want a kick option.
Yeah, I don't see why we didn't just do forgive and punish.
Yeah.
We already were kicking team killers. I don't see why we don't just introduce like, hey, if it's an accident, give people the option to forgive and see how that goes. Like, this seems like a very complex system to introduce that now is going to like affect balance in certain ways and stuff. Cause now like,
well, and you can still like, say you have nitro cell, you just keep spawning with that on defense. You can still team kill.
Yeah.
And I think
you'll probably still get,
I think you still get kicked after the second one.
So I guess that's kind of fine, but like, it just introduces this thing where it's like, it's probably not a big deal, but if it happens even once, it'll be frustrating. And that's like, if you're like, I don't know, say that like the enemy team charges you, right? And like, it's like a 1-on-3 or something, and they just come charging in at you. And there's somebody in the back with like an LMG just like spraying it down. And like, they would have hit somebody in the back of the head that was like right in front of you and like would have saved you from that kill or whatever, but instead they just kill themselves because they already had RFF active.
Yeah.
And like, so like they have very little risk, like just spraying in there and like, maybe I hit you, maybe I hit my teammate, but if I hit my teammate, I die way back here, and my teammate that's right there pressuring you is safe. And, like, it's probably minor. It won't happen very often. It's not like you can set it up or whatever. But just, like, if that happens to me once, I'll be very frustrated. Like, yeah. That guy got shot in the head, and he didn't die.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I was taking body shots at the same time, like, from that guy who was in the back just spraying us down. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like I've seen this... Like, I saw this in Counter-Strike in 2002, and, like, it was a problem. So I don't know why we're doing this in Siege in 2019.
It just seems like this was a ton of work when really all they had to do was do a forgive punish, and that's it. And right. It would have been done. Like, it would have taken a couple of hours, maybe.
Right. And like, I want that, and then I want just, like, a long-term tracking system that says, like, dude, your team kill percentage is, like, 5% plus. Where yeah. The rest of the communities is like less than 1%. So yeah. You're a problem and you're done. You know, like issue like a 2-week ban and be like, hey, this is a problem. If it keeps happening, you're going to be out. And just do that. Like, just get rid of the people altogether long term.
It also needs to start applying to squads too. Like, if people are in a party together and they're team killing someone,
right?
Then it should, like, the second team kills, like, the whole squad gets kicked from the game and banned.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been a much better. Application of the time it took to develop this, especially because like it doesn't solve that problem at all, whereas like the problem where you get into a group you get in with a squad of four who is taking turns team killing you every round,
yeah,
it doesn't solve that at all.
No, and that's the most infuriating thing ever,
and that's when it's the biggest problem in this game is trolling wise is when it's a group trolling one or two players on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing you can do about it, especially if you're in a ranked match and you can't leave without getting sanctioned. Like, it's very, very frustrating. I have a video detailing my frustration with that on my YouTube channel. You should go check it out. I'll link it in the show notes. But anyway, that's pretty much it on RFF, unless you have anything else to share. Did you talk about Maestro and Twitch and Mozzie?
I mean, they're the same.
So, yeah, so Maestro and Twitch and Mozzie basically just, like, if you do damage with an evil eye when RFF is activated, then the evil eye will actually receive the damage and not your player.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting to know. How do you even do damage with a Mozzie drone?
I think it's people? If you're shooting the Mozzie drone.
If you shoot...
So if I shoot Mozzie's drone, like, one of Mozzie's taking over drones, then it will... hit me instead of kill Mozzie's drone.
I don't think so, because this is saying, like...
There could be if he takes Twitch's drone.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
That's the only other thing I can think of.
Oh, one other random thing that this patch introduced was a bug, apparently, where IQ can be invisible?
Yeah, so this patch introduced a few bugs. IQ can be invisible... The deployable shield, like on top of someone's gun, glitches back, and then
how does that keep coming back?
I don't know. And then Clash can now shoot through her shield with a gun.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of awesome.
This is where it makes no sense to me. It's like, okay, this patch was putting in reverse friendly fire. What else did you touch? Like, what did you go in there and do that brought these three bugs back, or like introduced this new bug? It's like you weren't even supposed to touch that. Right. And then you did that, and then you changed, like, the font color on this stupid thing, and you changed the amount of points to all these random operators, and I think increased Sledge's hammer speed. It's like, why? Like, you said you were just doing this, so just do this. Don't do all these other things that, like, made all these problems, and not having tested it, like, they didn't test this patch in the test server. That's what it's for.
Right.
And had they, maybe would have caught some of these. Maybe not, but
it does seem like if you're going to make... changes that might affect things like that, then you should hold that off until it has something the test server can be used. That's the whole point, right?
Right. I think that they have fixed, this is Tuesday when we're talking about this, so they've released a note on the subreddit saying that they're working on trying to fix these glitches with IQ and the deployable shields and Clash.
Yeah.
I think they released a hotfix that did fix it with Clash and the deployable shield, because I went into a custom game. Also, there's this video on YouTube from this guy who has all these viewers and like subscribers and likes, and he's like showing people how to do this glitch. He's like, this is how you do it. And then after like 10 minutes of practice, you can get it every time. If you have a squad of friends, you can have all four of you running around, all five of you running around with deployable shields on your heads.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, F this guy. And then he says at the end of the video, he's like, please support, put a support ticket to Ubisoft so they can see this and they can get it fixed immediately. It's like, if you wanted it fixed, you shouldn't have spread it out to the whole community. Yeah. You shouldn't have showed all these people how to do it. You should have just submitted it to Ubisoft on your own.
He wants to fix, but he wants to capitalize on the fact that people want to know how to do it at the same time. So
anyway, I watched the video and went into a custom game, and this was after there was like a small, like 3 megabyte fix today, or some patch. They haven't said anything about it still. But I tried for 20 minutes to get this glitch in a custom game with Clash of Shield, which you can see if you go on cameras, you can see that you still have the shield out, where in first person you don't. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get it in 20 minutes. And then I tried the deployable shield one, and after 15 minutes, I couldn't get it either. So I spent like 35 minutes trying to do it. So it's not an easy thing to do.
Okay.
If it still exists on, this is on PC. So if it still exists on PC, it's very difficult. It could be patched by now, and that's why I couldn't do it. But it's also like a very different, it's not like people are accidentally getting this glitch. Like, it's a process of like ridiculous things you're doing, and you're doing it on purpose, and they should be banned for a long time.
I saw, like, I haven't like looked into this a bunch, but I just was browsing the subreddit today, and I saw somebody, actually, maybe this was, I think I was looking at like older posts or something else, but somebody mentioned like, hey, in For Honor, they used to ban people for like using this exploit with a certain character that would let you like one shot kill people. And they're like, why doesn't Siege do the same thing? And I think it should. Like, we should be banning people, like, maybe not permanently, but at least like for a week
or
two. For
a couple weeks.
If you're using exploits, like, no, like, sorry, you're ruining the game. Because it's going to keep happening, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, we can tell from experience and like from their history that like these things are going to keep happening. And these are game breaking bugs, right? Like, and people are doing this clearly on purpose. And like, there should be a punishment for that. You shouldn't be able to just do that and take advantage of it for while it's in there and like rank up a bunch or whatever and like ruin other people's experience. And then as soon as it's gone, then you're fine.
Nothing happens. Yeah. What I also really, really hate is when people say stuff like, why are we dealing with this in a 4-year-old game? It's like, well, because this 4-year-old game still has new content that's coming out.
Right.
Other 4-year-old games, they're done playing with it. So, of course, you're not going to have these bugs in other 4-year-old. Like, they're still introducing new stuff all the time.
Right.
So, of course, we're going to see, like, new bugs and stuff. So, you can't say, like, this is a 4-year-old game that shouldn't happen. It's like, this is a 4-year-old game that's having new content.
Right.
That shouldn't happen.
Right.
And
StarCraft hasn't had a patch since Brood War, and all the bugs that existed in Brood War still exist in Brood War. Right?
Like, yeah.
No new bugs have been introduced, but all the bugs that exist now and like that people exploit in competitive matches and stuff, like, that will never go away. That's just a symptom of living with online games as a service, right?
Yeah. And someone noted like, oh, this bug existed back in season one, like back in the first couple months of the game. It's like, yeah, and they fixed it, and it hasn't been a problem until just now. They did something and it broke it, and they're trying to fix it immediately. Like, it's not right. Like, well, it's existed all the way from forever ago.
But like, one frustrating thing about this bug in particular is this one has been back several times. Yeah. Like, this is not the first time this bug has resurfaced. So in that like particular instance, it seems like, okay, like, I would assume that this is like a similar, if not the same, root cause of this
bug? Well, I think
bug?
I think it's got to be different, because it's different ways that people are getting it to happen.
Okay.
Like, it used to be like, put the deployable shield down and like vault over it or something, and now it's like, put it down while also putting out your gadget. So it's like, it's different ways that people are getting it to happen. So I think different things are triggering it.
I think the deployable shield's
just broken in general.
Yeah. Hopefully it's totally fixed when they do the patch for deployable shields.
He's probably pissing him off, because he's like, we're going to get rid of this stupid shield next season anyway. Now we got to fix this crap.
Is it next season that the new shield's coming?
Oh. I don't remember.
Do we have any idea what's coming next season besides just the operators?
I don't think we do.
We know Cafe.
Uh-huh. And we know there's going to be first half, so the pick and ban should come, because it's first half of year four.
Also, at least should be coming out of beta.
Yeah.
I bet you that's mid-season reinforcements.
Yeah, guaranteed. How much you want to bet? Guaranteed.
It's so stupid.
They're keeping that bad boy in beta for as long as they can.
What does that even mean? Why, like, if you have decided you're taking it out of beta, why doesn't it happen today? Like, yeah. What does that even mean? What, like, when you take it out of beta, what has changed?
Yeah.
From, like, today to tomorrow. Nothing. I do not get that. It's so random.
Beta tag.
Anyway, the beta tag. Should we get into this operator teaser?
Yeah.
All right. So they tease the two new operators who are coming next season, or I guess, next season. what we know about them from the year four reveal is that one is Danish and one is U.S. Secret Service.
Yes, also correct.
So it's a very, very light teaser. There is very little detail here.
There's really nothing here, honestly. Like, we can see that one has a hood while the other one has a headset on. We can see little colors coming off of, like, a watch, which could say one is attack and one is defend.
Yeah, they both have, like, little watches that are, like, glowing. Or, like, little pads on their arms or something. So, like, it seems like they have some sort of intel gadget or some kind of gadget that's activated via some kind of watch interface or something. But, you really can't tell anything. One interesting thing is that the Secret Service guy is wearing, like, a suit, which is, like, really cool. Like, I'm really excited to have somebody running around in a suit.
Yeah. That is cool. The other guy seems to have some sort of... And we know that the Danish guy was supposed to be some intel guy, right? We read something about that?
I don't remember. I know that there's been leaks, and I don't really want to talk about leaks because I feel like it kind of spoils the actual reveal. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if we've talked about leaks before on the podcast. Maybe we have or haven't. But I kind of feel like our MO should just be to kind of ignore leaks.
Anyway, he has like a signal. It's like there's like an antenna coming off of his back, like a backpack, kind of like a Vigil back thing.
Yep.
So we don't know what's going on there, but
do we know who's attack and who's defense?
We don't. From this, if the blue and orange is attack and defend, the Secret Service guy would be attacking and the Danish guy would be defending.
Yeah. But we don't know. No. I would assume the Secret Service would be defense because Secret Service.
Right.
So that seems like that's what he should be, but who knows? I kind of hate these concept art teasers because, like, it's just, it gives you absolutely nothing. Like, even when they've been revealed, if you go back and look, it's not like, oh, I can't believe I missed that little detail. It's just like, no, there's just no details here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I much prefer, like, the video teasers that we saw with like Mozzie and Gridlock, where it's like, oh, like here's like a little, you can see him holding some like weird crossbow thing. Like, what is that about? And then like, okay, she's got like a sawed off shotgun. That's cool. And then like the one after that, it's like, okay, she's driving this truck and she's throwing this gadget out. And
yeah.
And then he has like this little drone thing that he shoots. And there's this like code flashing across the screen. Like those are fun to like analyze.
Mm-hmm.
These artwork ones is just like, okay, cool.
Right. That's my best. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about it.
So
probably tomorrow there's going to be another teaser that we're going to,
which you 100% called that like on Tuesday for last episode, we had recorded on Sunday and you said like, they're going to release something on Tuesday. That's like big news that we're not going to be able to cover. And the podcast will come out on Wednesday and we'll look like dummies. Cause we didn't talk about it. 100% the reverse friendly fire just like released on Wednesday. So it was like,
yep.
Good call.
It's going to happen again here. Well, today is Tuesday.
It'd be hard because we're actually recording Tuesday night. So this is like a 12-hour turnaround for the podcast. It would be really hard for them to beat us on this one.
They'll do it. I think they're going to release some like a different teaser.
Friday we get another teaser.
Okay. I think 2 weeks from now is we see tester patch notes. It's coming up.
Yeah. It's going to be soon. It's going to be soon because I think we're like 2 or 3 weeks away probably from the actual season releasing.
But it's got to be at least 3 because the test server is supposed to be live for 3 weeks before the season comes out now.
Oh, well, there you go. So anyway, that's that. We'll link to the teaser if you want to see it. Of course, it's easy to find on like the subreddit and stuff. But
that would mean that their season 2 doesn't start till June. I guess that makes sense. June. Yeah. Last season we were releasing like December then.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much it. Should we hop into some listener questions?
LQs.
Like we love to do. Okay, so if you have questions, you can send those in to us on Twitter at r6unrenowned or on our Discord server, which you can find the link to on our Twitter account and in the show notes. Those are great places to ask us questions. That's where we're getting our questions from today. Also, if you just want to follow us individually, you can follow me on YouTube and Twitch at VG Fiasco.
I'm just Hello with 3 O's on the same platforms.
So we've got a question on Twitter from at Jack Muffaletto, who wants to know, can Jaeger's ADS see throwables and shoot them through smoke?
Yes,
they can. Jaeger's ADS are very versatile. All right, hit us with our first Discord channel question.
Our first Discord channel question is from DevDog. He asks, what are your thoughts on a team of gold twos and threes having to play with a team of diamond, plat, and two coppers because the average was the same? This started to happen to my squad at least once a night on Xbox, and I find it very frustrating. A diamond is a much bigger asset than a copper is a liability, and that's if it's not a smurf. I agree. I think two diamonds, even if they're playing with three actual copper, like copper players, actual sucky guys, the two diamonds will carry the team and win because they know about all these stupid little peaks and stupid angles that the golds don't know about because it just doesn't happen. And it just doesn't happen in the golds game.
Right.
But to the diamonds, like if the diamonds were to try it in a diamond ranked game, they would get wrecked doing it because it's a stupid play. But because they're playing against golds, the golds don't know about it and they get the stupid kills all the time.
Yeah.
So the diamonds are going to carry that and win every time. And I hate it. I think there's a game that does this, and I don't know what game it is, but they should take the highest rank and make everybody play at that rank. If you're playing with diamonds and the diamond's going to play with some copper friends, and the copper's got to play at the diamond level, it's going to suck for the diamond guy. He's not going to want to do it, but then don't play ranked with the copper friends because it's not fair to have the diamond guy playing with other silver players on the other team.
I kind of think you just shouldn't be allowed to play ranked if you're more than two full ranks apart.
Yeah, but then that sucks
or
if you have like the
full rank.
That sucks if you have like a teammate that like you want someone you want to play with and you can't play with them. Like I'd rather be able to play with friends and be like, hey, you're gonna have to come to my rank and we'll have to teach you.
Yeah, maybe the division should be a little bit more generous than that. So like maybe like copper through gold is free game. Everybody can play, you know, together, copper through gold, and then like gold and platinums can play together and platinums and diamonds can play together or something. But like a diamond playing with a gold, that like that's the skill gap at that point is so huge that it's like, that's when it becomes unfair. And like a gold versus a copper, like, yeah, that's a big difference. But I mean, come on. Like if you're gold or under, like you are not so serious about the game or like, you're just not. And like, I'm speaking as somebody who barely hits gold, right? Like you are not skilled enough at the game in theory, you shouldn't be like so serious about it at that skill level that like it really miffs you if you're playing against coppers or whatever, you know. Or I guess if you're a copper playing against a gold player, I don't know. It would average out still. So like, hopefully it becomes kind of fair. But I feel like in that range, it's just like not a huge deal. And that way you allow the majority of the community to play ranked together if they want to, you know, with their friends.
Yeah. I still think it sucks though. If you're like, if you happen to be really good at Siege, you want to bring your friend into your ranked play, like that's going to be your liability. But at the same time, you're going to learn a ton if you're playing against other platinums and you're,
I don't think you will. Like, I think you do learn a lot by playing against players who are better than you.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I'm, let's say bronze, even if I'm bronze, I'm really not learning much getting wrecked by diamonds and platinums.
Yeah.
I'm really not. It's like if I'm playing melee against Mango, I'm not learning anything. I'm just getting destroyed, you know? Yeah. And like, there's just not like the skill gap is so great that I can't even understand what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
So
you think they just shouldn't be able to play together?
And yeah, like because it doesn't just affect them. Like if it's me and you running together and I'm diamond and you're copper,
yeah.
Which, you know, that's probably the more realistic example than you being diamond and me being copper. So we'll go with that one. But if that was the case, it's not fair to my diamond teammates,
right?
Or my platinum teammates or whatever else it is. So I don't know. Like I just think like at a certain point, it's like just go play casual. That's what casual's for.
Yeah. I definitely don't think it should happen where diamonds can play against silvers or even golds. I don't think that should happen at all.
Yeah, no, that skill gap is huge.
Yep.
It's huge.
I should not be in a ranked match and be playing against diamond.
Right. And like the thing about, I mean, the gold and copper skill gap is big too, but really it comes down mostly to like map knowledge and game knowledge versus like Twitch skill or like very, very in-depth, precise map knowledge, you know, like that's just like takes hundreds or thousands of hours to like make up that difference. It's really just like, hey, that guy's played 200 hours and I've played 20, and that's what our main difference is. But like if we come in a gunfight, like I'm probably just as close to beating him as he is to beating me, you know.
Yeah,
I've played shooters before. So that's kind of my feeling on it. I'm not saying that's necessarily right, but that's how I feel about it. So
yeah, I agree.
Lieutenant Dan 1994 has a playlist idea, a new playlist called the Nostalgia Playlist. They have Old Hereford, Plain, House, Favela, Yacht, and Bartlett. You're losing me. You can take those maps out of the casual playlist and use the casual playlist as a place to promote newer maps. Put only Pro League map pool maps in ranked along with the newest map release, so 8 maps in ranked as opposed to 14. Okay, so he's saying basically divide it into 3 playlists, right? One is Nostalgia, that's Old Hereford, Plain, House, Favela, Yacht, and Bartlett. Those would all come out of casual, I'm presuming.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the stuff would be in casual, and that's where you can like promote the newer maps, and then ranked is pared down to those Pro League maps along with the newest one.
So I do not think the newest map release should be in the ranked pool.
I agree. Yeah, newest map should not be in ranked, I don't think. The downside there is there's a lot of people that for them, like the excitement of the game is the new map. And so like if it's not in ranked, yeah, they'll feel bad about it. I don't like your nostalgia playlist because it's got Favela, Yacht, and Bartlett, which most of the community does not like. Yeah. So,
and now my only way to play House is to play the nostalgia playlist, and I have to play these 3 crappy maps.
Right. Like I almost feel like those 3 should be it. Like the nostalgia playlist should be like the best and most popular community maps from the original game, from the base game.
It should also only have original operators.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I would love that as an event, like original Siege with obviously with all the fixes and upgrades and patches, right, and all that stuff. But like, yeah, like give me Plain, House, Old Hereford, Consulate, Cafe Oregon, and Clubhouse. Yeah. Old Clubhouse.
Yeah,
like that would be sweet. Just like just the community favorite maps out of those originals. I think that'd be fun.
Yep.
So I like the idea. I don't like the implementation.
Rush 17 says, instead of having a map pool we can choose from, it seems Ubisoft does not want to go that way. How about 1 to 3 maps players can avoid? I cannot stand Skyscraper and it ruins my gaming experience. Maybe if this is only active in solo queue, I think just being able to play the same mech over and over again is a bad idea. I assume that doesn't Counter-Strike, but why not give each person up to 1 to 2 videos for maps they don't wish to solo queue? Yeah, I'd be fine with having like 3 maps so that I can be like, what maps do you not want to play no matter what?
Right.
And I can pick 3.
Yeah, sort of a form of map preferences.
Yeah.
I still think the best way to do it is present 5 maps. Each team takes turns striking one until you get down to the process of elimination, one that was chosen. I think that's the best way to do it. But like you're saying, it seems like they don't want to do that. So avoiding maps sounds awesome. Rocket League does this for their stages, and Rocket League stages are basically all identical.
They're the same thing.
Aside from like aesthetic. So, and like, I love that because there's certain aesthetics that I just don't like and I don't want to play on. And it's like, there's like way too much background noise and it's too distracting. And it's just like, I just want like the professional looking fields, and it works great. It works great. It's just like, sometimes I play those maps, but very rarely.
Yep. I would like that. I would like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then Rocket League also goes the other way too, where they have like, so you can only do 3, I think, that you want to avoid. And then you can do 3 that you prefer. So you basically get 3 upvotes and 3 downvotes, which, and then like the rest are just neutral, which is a really cool way to do it, I think. Zintkala?
Yeah.
Did you ask him?
You'll
or
see.
Her? Zintkala says, my first podcast questions. Have you guys ever been recognized in game for being the unrenowned guys?
No, I have not.
In game? No, I've been recognized on the subreddit before. I don't think in game. And we have our unrenowned logo as our in-game icon, but not yet. We need to, guys, share the podcast. It needs to spread more. If people aren't recognizing us in game, that's a problem. I do have better questions, but I'm going to start with that one. Just in case, my name is pronounced Zintkala. Thank you and keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Zintkala.
You're welcome. Hudo, hudo. Says, hey, Ryan and Chris. Great podcast. Thank you. I had a question about the new forgive system. Do you think toxicity will still be a problem with people who accidentally get TK'd griefing by saying it was intentional despite a player indicating it was an accident and apologizing?
No, because that's not any more griefing than the old system was, right? Where you couldn't forgive.
Yeah.
So basically, you'll have the sanction and when you shouldn't, but that's be the same as getting kicked when you shouldn't have, when there is no way to forgive people. So right. It's only like, good.
And hey, though, when you have someone kick you, when someone boots you and you shouldn't have been booted, you're like, are you freaking kidding me? But it's better than, like, they shouldn't have booted you and they're an idiot for doing so. But at the same time, it's like, well, either way, if they didn't have the system, then I would have been kicked no matter what.
Right. Right. Yeah, my friend that I accidentally TK'd wouldn't have been able to forgive me, and I would have been kicked in that game, too.
Right.
My old Mantis story, where these idiots, these three idiots and a warthog came under my Mantis when I was stomping. Mantis blew up, they all died, and I got kicked, and I was like 20-0. And like, I'm sure they lost the game after that, because it was a close game. Hi. Holdfast Blackhawk says, Chris and Ryan, I've been trying to get my friends to play ranked with me. They think everyone there is toxic and hackers. Me and my friends are good enough to change from casual to ranked. Thanks and bye. Love the podcast. It's not really a question, but yes, go play ranked. Like, there's no reason to be scared of ranked. It's fine. I think there is just as much, if not more, toxicity in casual than in ranked.
Yeah, especially hackers, too, is not nearly as big of a problem now as it used to be a long time ago.
No, totally not. And ranked is a lot of fun. It's a better way to play the game, I think. Not just because it's ranked, but just because the rule set's better.
Yeah.
So go do that.
Yeah, play ranked. It's better for you. It's good for your health. BG and Everblight says, what do you guys think about an operator that could throw reinforcement up onto hatches to do like hatches that face outside? I like the idea of someone being able to reinforce like the ceiling above them. Like if you could reinforce soft ceilings somehow, that would be way cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. There's not that many like hatches that go outside that I would care about, I don't think, but like just soft ceilings in general would be kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could do that just from the floor up top. Like if they just made it so you could reinforce floors.
Yeah.
Then you could do that, but.
But it'd be cool to have like some spray that you could do either above or below. You could look down on the floor and do it.
If like you're a reinforcement above. But, like, bot.
Sure. But like you could reinforce like the bathroom hatch in Coastline.
Yeah.
You could reinforce the hatch on Cafe that goes in from outside that's always breached.
Yeah, that'd be useful.
Some maps don't have them, so it sucks, but it'd be cool if you could reinforce the soft ceiling.
Some sort of like self-deploying reinforcement that you like let out a little drone and it crawls up the wall and goes to like where you designated it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be sweet. Spotwick wants to know, would Vigil be too OP if he could use his cloaking ability while roaming around the outside areas of maps?
Yes.
I didn't know he couldn't. So...
I think he's saying like he wouldn't be spotted from the...
Oh, so that, yeah, that's way too OP.
If that's what you're saying, then yes, that's
so like when OP. He runs outside, he's not spotted by the game. No, yeah, that would be super, super OP. Yeah, 100%.
Steel Switch, would hostage be more fun to play if the defense had the ability to pick up and move the hostage during a match? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. It would be so much fun.
Yeah, so that matches the E3 trailer of this game back in like 2014, I think.
Yeah, it would have been 2014.
When it was first announced, and like the E3 trailer looked really cool, and like it's hard to, I mean, making a trailer look good is different than making a game play well. But the terrorists were absolutely picking up the hostage and moving around, which was kind of cool.
Because imagine this. Imagine it's in kitchen and you're defending kitchen and consulate. Okay. So basement, kitchen, you're defending the hostage. They breach the garage. You're like, get him the freak out of here. Get him out of here. And you take him up the service stairs up to the second floor. And there's like guys pushing the second floor. You're like, oh, put him in the visa office or something.
Yeah. It seems like
he's like running away with him. It'd be fun.
It seems like there have to be like limits on it because like people are going to find like really weird places that are impossible to attack. And like,
yeah.
I mean, like the game is balanced around the sites, right? And so if you're creating a new site that's like in a stairwell where there's only one or like two ways in or something, I don't know, like that'd be hard. It's sort of like when somebody drops the kit in a really weird spot and it's like, oh, this place is actually really easy to defend because like all the walls are solid and like there's only one entrance, you know? So like, I definitely worry about that. It might be cool if you could I don't know how you can make it work.
I was thinking, like, I don't know if it'd work. If you can only grab him for, like, 6 seconds or something, and you can only do that once a minute.
Yeah.
So, like, the prep phase, you can move him a little bit, but you can't move him that far.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's, like, anything that they could do on the opposite side, where, like, attackers have to pick up the hostage and, like, go somewhere in the map or something, and, like, I don't know, pick up two things or something.
Yeah, I was thinking, if the attacker just had to kill the hostage, but I feel like that'd be way too easy.
No, that'd be super easy. It's just too easy to, like, just run and grab the hostage and run out, which is, like, fun. That's kind of why, like, hostage is fun, but I don't know. I don't know how you, like, make hostage better for sure, but, like, it would be interesting to have the hostage moving around. Zinkala has another question. What if TKs cost you negative renown or no alpha packs? Okay. Hit the toxic player base where it hurts. This way they have to pay monies to Ubisoft to get new operators. So Ubisoft wins. The griefers eventually go into negative renown, which is a red flag to Ubisoft for how much negative renown toxic players get. After so much unrenowned, it makes them stand out. Then Ubi can ban for too much negative renown.
Yeah, I think that's actually an interesting idea. Like, instead of just banning them for the 30 minutes where people can just say, okay, well, I just don't play anyway, you can be like, we're taking 2,000 renown away from you.
Yeah, that is interesting. The only thing about it is you're assuming that everybody cares about renown. And, like, a lot of times, like, people who are griefing aren't, like, super passionate about the game necessarily. Yeah. And that's why, like, they don't care to, like, ruin everybody's experience make the game bad. So, I like, it would be a good punishment. I think they should do that.
Yeah.
And long term, they should be tracking people's TKs long term and take action. Like, permanent action when people are seen to be a problem. Cabbage Bro wants to know, what do you guys think of Rainbow adding a defensive operator that would have two or three tripwires that they could put in doorways? If attackers walked across these wires, they would fall and be incapacitated, similar to what Nomad's gadget does. One other catch would be the only way to get rid of it would be to melee or cut the string.
I think that'd actually be really fun. It's like that really old prank where you take, like, string and, like, tie it around two things that someone's gonna walk by.
Yeah, like the fishing wire thing.
Yeah,
no, that'd be cool. Just like straight up litter trip wires, and then,
or like, better yet, Legos.
Yeah. Just throw glass on the floor. No, that'd be cool. I like that.
It'd be cool. I think it'd be cool too if you could just not only doorways, but just like hallways that are that small, or like if you could put it between two objects that are just like tight enough together.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be way cool.
Yeah.
Make people trip over stuff.
It'd be cool if there was, like, an animation to take it down. Like, you had to, like, walk up to it and snip it with your knife or whatever. So it's, like, it's not cool. Just simple. It's just, like, meleeing as you run through. But, like, you had to actually, like, stop and cut it. That'd be cool. I would like to see more gadgets where, like, when you see it, you have to, like, defuse it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You have to, like, deactivate it somehow rather than just, like, oh, there's a thing, shoot it. And like, or melee it, or just walk around it, like something that's like,
yeah, it would have to be a mechanical gadget of some sort, because obviously electronics you can just shoot,
right?
Like Frostmass, it'd be cool if, like, instead of shooting it disappears, it'd be like disable bear
trap.
You have
to like stick your gun in it to set it off or something, you know?
That'd be way cool.
Yeah, but yeah, that'd be really cool to see more of that kind of stuff. But I like it. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you guys for those awesome questions. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are the best. Please do share the podcast with your friends and neighbors and everybody that you know, your mom.
Yeah, your dog.
Sure. If she has an iPhone or whatever, you know, it's some other device.
And this part is for him. Woof, woof.
I don't know why I do this with you. But yeah, do that stuff. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at r6unrenowned, and we will catch you with a new episode next week. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss it.
Just goodbye.